Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Speedy Trials and State Delay Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 29, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Boyer v. Louisiana. The question in this case was whether, when a criminal death penalty trial is delayed due to the state's failure to fund defense counsel, that delay should count against the state in a subsequent speedy trial analysis. The case was dismissed as improvidently granted. Justice Alito filed a concurring opinion, which was joined by Justices Scalia and Thomas, arguing that the factual records demonstrated most of the delay at issue was not actually caused by the state breakdown in funding. Justice Sotomayor filed a dissent, joined by Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan, that would have reached the merit, holding that the state was responsible for the delay and remanded the case for further proceedings. To discuss the case, we have Amy Moore, who is an associate professor of law at Belmont University College of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Moore.
The Supreme Court, instead of deciding this case, elected to dismiss the writ of certiorari as improvidently granted. This dismissal was per curiam, but it did generate a concurrence from Justice Alito, joined by Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas, and a dissent from Justice Sotomayor, joined by Justice Ginsburg, Justice Breyer, and Justice Kagan. The question originally certified by the court was whether the portion of the delay in Mr. Boyer's case that was caused by Louisiana's lack of funding should be counted against the state in the Barker versus Wingo factors. The dissent answers this question the affirmative, without application of the factors, but the concurrence asserts that the question was mistaken in attributing a large part of the delay to the state. The concurrence said the majority of the delay was the fault of the defendant, Mr. Boyer. But let's back up for a few minutes to understand the facts of this case, which are rather complex. In 2002, Jonathan Boyer was arrested and charged in Louisiana with first-degree murder, a capital crime. As an indigent defendant, the court appointed counsel for him. Procedural rules in Louisiana entitled him to two capitally certified lawyers when facing a conviction of a capital crime, although such a thing is not constitutionally required. Due to a series of events in the state of Louisiana, there was not money to pay for his full two-person representation in this capital crime. Both sides were issued continuances during this time. By 2007, the state reduced the charge from first-degree murder to second-degree murder and armed robbery. This removed the capital charge and removed the obstacle of the lack of funding. Trial commenced in September of 2009, and Mr. Boyer was convicted. On appeal, he argued that his Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial had been violated by the more than 7-year delay. The Louisiana Third Circuit Court of Appeals held that the length of the delay was presumptively prejudicial, and that but for the lack of funding, the case would have proceeded in a timely manner. However, the appellate court found that this lack of funding was out of the state's control and did not count against the state. The Supreme Court in Barker v. Wingo analyzes the right to a speedy trial and says that any inquiry into a speedy trial claim necessitates a functional analysis of the right in the particular context of the case. The court offers four factors: the length of delay, the reason for delay, the defendant's assertion of his right, and the prejudice against the defendant. All of these factors are weighted together in a balancing test with any other relevant circumstances to determine whether a constitutional violation had occurred. During oral arguments, it appeared that both sides agreed the main or primary reason for the delay was a lack of funding, and the only issue was whether this lack of funding should be counted against the state in a Barker versus Wingo analysis, and how much it should count if it did. Therefore, there were some arguments about the delay itself and a long chronology of what had happened before trial. The concurrence goes back into this chronology to support its decision. The reason the concurrence agrees with the refusal to make a decision is that the certified question is premised on the assumption that a majority of the delay in Mr. Boyer's case was caused by the state's lack of funding. According to the concurrence, his guilt was overwhelming and, quote, the single largest share of the delay was the direct result of defense requests for continuances, end quote. If the delay was not caused by a systemic breakdown in the state of Louisiana, but rather through the defendant's proper use of the judicial process, the certified question is invalid. There's no real need to weigh such a delay against the state. The concurrence concludes it is this mistaken factual premise that renders the writ as improvidently granted. Rather than reweigh the facts of what caused the delay, the dissent rests on the conclusion of the Louisiana appellate court that the delay was caused in large part by the failure to fund counsel. Once the Louisiana court found this to be the primary reason for delay, should that delay weigh against the state? For the dissent, this is an easy question. According to Barker v. Wingo jurisprudence, of course delay such as this should weigh against the state. The dissent says, quote, it is important for states to understand that they have an obligation to perfect a defendant's constitutional right to a speedy trial, end quote. The court has noted previously that even a neutral reason for delay, like overcrowded courts or a similar systemic breakdown, should weigh against the state because it is the state's responsibility to control such circumstances. While states have freedom to allocate resources in the judicial process, the dissent argues it is reasonable to expect the state to bear the consequences of these choices. So once the Louisiana court identified delay because of lack of funding, it should have weighed that delay against the state, and it did not. This analysis was based on what the dissent called a critical misapprehension of Supreme Court precedents. However, the dissent does not offer any direction as to how the other elements of the Barker inquiry should be weighed, or even the ultimate issue of whether the delay violated Mr. Barker's right to a speedy trial. Thus, the real issue is whether the Supreme Court should accept the Louisiana court's judgment about the primary reason for delay, or should it reweigh the facts to come to its own conclusion about the delay. The dissent says that a reweighing of the facts risks substituting the Supreme Court's judgment for that of a state court on a question that is closely intertwined with state procedural rules. Boyer is illustrative of the problem in Louisiana, and the court had a chance to try and help resolve that problem. The concurrence, and presumably the majority, feels that the incorrect weighing of the facts precludes any determination of whether a funding crisis that leads to a delay of trial should be weighed against the state in a constitutional analysis. At the end of the day, Mr. Boyer's conviction stands, and we are no closer to guidance for how to apply the Barker v. Wingo factors when it comes to lack of funding on behalf of the state.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.